Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our concerns series today, all previewing a number of concerns, hopefully before training camp. We're going to get as many as we can. A few of these, no doubt, will overlap with the beginning of training camp. But today, we're going to talk about the dime defense. And joining me to do that is Brandon Croxton. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. It's a good day. Season's coming upon us. Training camp is close, and I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And always happy to talk about the dime defense. I guess the first question we need to ask, we've got Zach Orr, the Ravens coming out of a season where they were a committed nickel. Zach Orr being a guy who was a committed weak side linebacker who stayed on the field for extra downs, on passing downs. So the Ravens were a committed nickel team when he played, and they were one last year with McDonald as Orr as the linebackers coach. So the question is, do the Ravens really need to play dime, or are they likely to stay as a committed nickel team?
So I honestly think that their first option will be to try to stay in that committed nickel, have Trent Simpson fill in the Patrick Queen role. And, by all the reports are saying that, you know, he's really taken a step forward. I don't necessarily think you can expect him to have an all-pro season in the second year, first year starting that Patrick Queen had, but he still can fill in admirably. And hopefully with him and Roquan together, they can still be effective in the nickel role. So that might negate the need for a dime. But if he does struggle, especially initially in coverage, or that's where you really want to consider looking at a dime back.
Right. I completely agree with that, by the way. I think there's two. It could be injury or ineffectiveness, which leads the Ravens to the dime. That really, I think, covers a lot of the next question, is do they need to be prepared to play dime in the event of injury? I think that's one of the reasons. I think we also don't know who Trenton Simpson is right at this point. We've seen, 26 snaps in that Steelers game, a few snaps the rest of the season. It's just not enough to go on. And if he's a outstanding player right away, fantastic. The Ravens will play committed nickel and never look back. If he is not that guy, then the Ravens need to have all options on the table as far as whether they need an early down thumper or whether they need a dime back to replace him on third down, whichever might be needed.
Right, exactly. And, you kind of looking at the roster, you really kind of wonder, they're putting a lot of chips in the Trent Simpson bag here at linebacker. If he goes down, there's not a lot of, known replacements on the roster right now. Obviously there's always those guys that are on the street that can come in and fill in, but on the roster right now, there's not a lot of guys. So you want to be thinking about, yeah, those early downs with a linebacker, and then, who could play dime, and, how would they fit in, in pass coverage.
I haven't had a chance yet to look at the, some of the new Ravens linebackers, the UDFA linebackers. If Andy Rigby has the right size to play Mike, Deion Jennings is another guy who's on the roster right now. I'm looking forward to seeing him at camp. But these are guys who may or may not fill a role on the inside. You've got Josh Ross, who possibly could be the backup. I think they're actually in a better position at the backup Will than they are at the backup Mike, where they don't have anybody. There really is no one. Evandy Rigby is probably their best size and shape option. They might have to do some hybrid thing where Malik Harrison moves back to play Mike for two downs. And then you shift Simpson over the Mike on third down and bring in a dimeback or even play quarter on those obvious passing downs, where you bring in two safeties, the Ravens would really have to be prepared if they did that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and you know, Malik Harrison has kind of shaped his body to be to be an outside linebacker. He's put on a lot of weight. He's they list him at 255 on the roster, so that's awful heavy for a linebacker in today's NFL. You usually have linebackers around the 225, 235 range. So he would definitely be a slower guy at the mic in that situation.
240, definitely a heavy at the mic is very heavy. That's about what he came out. I think he might've been 239 when he came out, up to 259 on the roster last year, 255. Looks like they might be hedging a little bit in terms of his positional versatility this year, but I'm interested to see what he looks like and if they're playing him in that mic role some in camp, just as a sub package or a second team look at him. I guess the next question then becomes, who do the Ravens have as candidates to play that dime role if it's required? And I'll throw another dime or quarter role if it's required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my first thought on, you know, potential dime candidates would be number one would be Kyle Hamilton. And I think, you know, potentially getting a great situation where Nate Wiggins is just too good to get off, to keep off the field. And you have Humphrey and Stevens in the at corner. You move Humphrey inside to nickel corner and you put Kyle Hamilton at the dime back, and gives you, you know, Hamilton, I think, is, you know, he's a good player in the back, playing, you know, back, you know, either in the cover two or cover one situation, but I think he's a dominant player at or near the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And being able to keep him at dime back and not have him, you know, in the deep safety role, that gives you a lot of flexibility on blitzes. You know, Marlon Humphrey's a great blitzer from the slot as well. It gives, and you know, he's got the size at 6'4", long arms, that when you drops 10 to 12 yards into coverage over the middle of the field, that gives a real hard target for a quarterback to throw around or over.
That's a very great point, and a very, I think, often undervalued part of what Hamilton brings to the game is just his size and arm length there in the middle of the field for up and down throws is a real obstacle. And, you know, he normally, if he's at slot corner and the Ravens are in some sort of form of zone defense, would have that second spot. He could have either, but he has some short zone, but oftentimes the second one from the boundary that he would be covering. And when he's doing that, it's just, that's a tough up and down throw on that side of the field. I come back to this for a second and say, is it the right thing to move Hamilton from slot corner to dime? And I'd have two major concerns. The first being additional potential for injury, which I'm not sure how serious that is, but I want you to respond to it. The second is, he's been so dominant at taking away the strong side of the field from that slot position. Do you want to move him inside and potentially take away some of his effectiveness to the outside in terms of what he does to hold down wide receiver screens and whatnot?
Sure. You know, as far as injury concerned, yes, I think there's always a little bit of injury concern, but mostly they're not going to be in you know, kind of heavy sets or base personnel. So he's going to be rarely taking on, you know, a tackle or even, you know, maybe even a tight end, you know, in the blocking, you know, to take on blocking wise. So I don't necessarily think there's a huge injury risk on that. Yes, there is a concern. Yes. About what you were saying is, you know, him being so good at taking away screens and being that dominant force right at the line of scrimmage at slot corner, you do lose that a little bit. But if you are getting enough great coverage with Wiggins, Stevens and Humphrey as all on the field together, I think that's a decent trade-off.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. It's certainly, if you have three great safeties in the middle of the field, good luck to opposing quarterbacks. I think we're going to see a lot of opposing quarterbacks look more like Joe Burrow and these fast throws to the outside, really trying to get away from the strength of the Ravens coverage. If they were to truly show three safeties in Roquan in the middle of the field in terms of coverage assets, would be fairly dominant. And that, I'm presuming that the Ravens are going to be able to find their back end split field guy, which I think they will do by the time the season begins.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk roster strain a little bit, because I think this is one of the considerations here. So if they have, there's a couple forms of roster strain. The first is, do you really need to then, if you have to plan to play dime and you might play Hamilton also as slot corner, do you need to have five that you activate on game day? Now, you could do it. You need special teams players too, but do you need to activate five safeties on game day to play your assortment of packages you might like to? The reason being that you need to have one in reserve in case of injury. I didn't make that clear. And they obviously were forced out of Hamilton at slot corner last year some by lack of availability of players.
Right. Yeah. There's always that concern with definitely needing more safeties on your roster. If you're going to play dime in any situation, because obviously with Hamilton, that's three safeties right off the bat. And if any one of them gets injured, you're down to maybe one reserve. So having them active, and plus always, safeties are always special teams players when they're backups. They contribute on special teams a lot because they're tackling, they're fast enough to get down the field on punt coverage and kickoff coverage that they play it off a lot at on special teams. So, worst case scenario, you get one injured in a special teams play, you get another injured on, a defensive play, and then you're really down to the bare minimum there. So having five is probably, something that you need, at all times on game days.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if there might be a solution to this at corner, and maybe the Ravens have been considering this too. We've seen a lot of the press, the article from Ryan Mink about Ardarius Washington's play at safety during some of the OTAs and minicamp, and whether or not this it may be a permanent thing. They may actually really be thinking about moving Ardarius to safety, because they certainly have an excess of slot cornerbacks at this point with Mollett and Pepe, and Ardarius, I would think, would have been number one. He won the job last year, and then Hamilton, of course. So that's four. So it may be that they need to find a different position for Ardarius Washington, but it may also be that Ardarius Washington would be a good emergency backup at the position. So if you have him on the field rostered as your slot corner for a game, he's also a guy who can move back and play safety.
Yeah. I think that's, something that you definitely need to, think about, is that flexibility with Ardarius. I do worry with Ardarius in the backfield because he's so small. He's 5'8". He's
175. Yeah.
175, which is very, very light for a safety. Mm-hmm. Just think, you wouldn't want to have a running back, breaking open in the middle of the field and have Ardarius is the last guy to try to tackle him. Cause mm-hmm. getting a 220 pound linebacker running back that outweighs you by 30, 40 pounds is going to be trouble.
Right. Agree completely. That would be my big concern about having Ardarius Washington there. And the Ravens have a long history of picking smaller, tenacious guys to play at slot corner, where they have very short area downhill tackling responsibilities, as opposed to on the back end. But Tavon Young was that kind of guy. Corey Ivey was that kind of guy. Ardarius himself last year won the job, being that kind of guy. They got some of that play from Arthur Mollett, who's a little larger, but is not huge either. Just generally speaking, your slot corners tend to be smaller guys, and the quicker they are at getting to the spot where the pass is thrown or the cut is made, the better their chance to make a tackle of a what will almost always be a larger man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the five safeties. One other consideration about Hamilton is, Do the Ravens have a gain from playing Hamilton at dime simply because they have so many other nickel candidates? So, you know, maybe it's not the optimal place for Hamilton. Maybe it's not the optimal place in terms of injuries, but do they gain more than that in terms of, and you talked about trade-offs earlier, in terms of all the additional nickel candidates they have and just being better suited to play there, whether, you know, whether it's Humphrey or Washington or Mollett or whoever it might be?
Yeah, I really think that the challenge for Orr is going to be trying to find the best 11 on the field at all times. And that could mean them going to dime, have Hamilton at dime safety, have, you know, your big three cornerbacks, or if Wiggins is, or if Wiggins or Tampa aren't really ready to step into a predominant role, you have Stevens and Humphrey and probably Mollett or maybe even Washington at that slot corner. That's your best 11 in pass situations. But also it could mean, staying to that nickel, keeping Simpson inside and keeping Hamilton at your slot corner and just rolling with that. There's a lot of flexibility with that too. You always also want to be keeping offenses guessing and keeping them confused and not, you know, just kind of game planning for one package or one defensive personnel grouping. So there might be potential for, you know, multiple groupings there.
Yeah, that's a good point, by the way. And that's, I think, part of the Martindale use of the jumbo nickel, where they would occasionally go to one inside linebacker plus three defensive linemen. They'd make that shift from time to time. I thought was a good kind of a change of pace defense. They do it against the same packages. You do it against 21 personnel or 12 personnel potentially when you really wanted to stop the run, when you were fearful of it. But it was a nice change of pace look, and it forces the offensive coordinator to think differently about how he's designing his next play. And, you know, he's made his personnel change. You make your personnel change second. Then all of a sudden you may have foiled his actual choice of play by the fact that you had three defensive linemen in the game. So, yeah, I like that too.
Right, absolutely.
So the Ravens have got some safety candidates on the roster, but not some overwhelmingly positive choices. What they have. We already talked about Ardarius and some of his shortcomings with regard to the back end. You know, it could still be a good emergency option, but for the back end, probably not the right guy. I've tossed out the possibility of Marlon Humphrey possibly playing some slots on the snaps on the back end. I don't think he's a player whose value in any way would be reduced on the open market by playing some back end snaps. I think he probably could handle that responsibility and has the physicality.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For it. Were the Ravens to find themselves in a, you know, the cornucopia situation at outside corner that Wiggins and Stevens are both very good, both needing to play full time. You shouldn't think you get Humphrey in the slot, but if you put Humphrey on the back end too, and Hamilton and he can basically swap positions as you see fit, that to me would be just a fantastically effective alternate pairing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I think definitely one of the worries on this team is after Marcus Williams, there really isn't that deep cover safety. I mean, Hamilton can do it, but you want to kind of avoid having him be back in the back end, you know, as much as you can, because he's such a dominant player close to the line of scrimmage. It's possible that, you know, Marlon Humphrey would be an interesting candidate to play some free safety, possibly in a dime situation, and or even the nickel, and have Hamilton play the slot and Humphrey play the deep and have Wiggins and Stevens as your outside. That's an intriguing, you know, possibility as well. You know, there is some adjustment that Marlon would have to do and some learning to play that deep safety. He's a very smart player. So there's not as much worry as it would be for a player that may not be as, you know, has a high football IQ that Marlon does, but you know, it's certainly a possibility.
They still are in a position presumably where Daryl Worley could be back. The lack of discussion over Daryl Worley, the lack of any sort of information about him right now, kind of bothers me. We're almost a camp. We haven't heard anything about what his injury situation is. And the truth of the matter is, it is not the Ravens' job to comment on Worley's injury situation when he's a UFA. In fact, they could potentially be doing him a big disservice if they said, yeah, we didn't think Daryl Worley was, you know, ready to play for the injury, so that's why we haven't re-signed him yet. Well, Worley would be pissed off about that because he's then being blocked in terms of a job with another team. So I understand it. I'm bothered that, you know, it hasn't been brought up at any point, you know, by the Ravens themselves, or we haven't heard anything in terms of the rumor mill or anything about Daryl Worley, you know, getting back and playing again for the Ravens. Cause he seems like an obvious and very cheap back end solution to their current lack of a half field safety.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think he's probably one of the first guys the Ravens would call in any situation if they figure out that, you know, the safeties that they do have on the roster, none of them are really that back end guy. And they really need to find a guy to play that nickel or that dime, or, you know, in case of an injury from Marcus Williams, they really need to find that guy. So I think, what was it, 2 years ago, they cut and re-signed him 8 or 9 times throughout
18.
The course of
18 transactions involving Worley.
Yeah.
I mean, that means they love him. That's what that means.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, he's the player that, you know, that's very humble, because, you know, getting cut and released and re-signed that many times can, you know, have that effect on your psyche a little bit. But for him to be able to go through that, you know, the Ravens, yes, I think it's probably the Ravens or no one with Worley at this point. Okay. And he's a guy that I'm sure they have on speed dial in case they figure out that they really need a guy like that.
All right. Well, hopefully that works out. It was a lot of fun to see him play in that first preseason game last year and dominate it the way he did against, you know, obviously a bunch of much younger players in the second half of the first preseason game. But still, he was like a puppeteer. He knew exactly where to be and how to manipulate the quarterback, and was very effective. So let's talk about the guys who are on the roster, because they're the first group we need to consider. And that's Sanusi Kane, Bo Braid, and Jordan Tolles, the Morgan State alum. Kane first reportedly has been getting a pretty good look in mini camp. He's a draft pick, so you know they have, I guess, some thought of sunk cost in him. I don't see him as the back end guy, not from his college play, and not from not for a lot of reasons, but I think he was drafted specifically for the new kickoff rules is the reason they invested as much as a seventh round pick. I mean, there's a lot of players you can use that pick on that are in your UDFA lineup, and you pick one because you think he meets your needs more and you might lose him to somebody else if you let him fall to the UDFA process. Kane, they had to be a guy who said, yeah, I want to have one special teams guy just so we're ahead of the curve in terms of this kickoff thing. Cause you know, phone calls will be going out to all our guys once this draft is over and those guys will be, you know, in demand.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, as far as a potential dime back and in the box safety, I think he could be a potential backup for one of those roles. But I think he is a guy that I think they envision as a special teams player, play on all of your, you know, all your coverage units and probably, punt return team as well, possibly, hope for maybe a little bit of development, to play some defense as well. But I think his primary role this year will be strictly as a special teams player.
Right. I mean, to play in the NFL after the college career he had at Purdue, which was unexceptional. He allowed 9.8 yards per target last year, 109 opposing quarterback rating, two touchdowns, no interceptions. There's no evidence of like a lot of ball skills or being in the right place. I mean, he gave up some plays last year. So if for a guy like that to suddenly come in and learn a system very quickly would be, I don't know if the correct word is antithetical here, but atypical is probably correct. It would not be normal for such a thing to happen. You know, you get a guy who's at a high level engineering degree or whatever, and Lucian obviously had that, but the other people who were very smart college students who played another position, maybe whether they might have been a light linebacker or they might have been a corner, you want to change them into safety, sure, that is a possibility of working. It's just not obvious with a player like Sanusi Kane, who didn't figure it out in college playing safety, that he would suddenly, you know, come in and do it. And maybe it's fair to say, you know, he could become an Anthony Levine in time, where he'd be able to take over that dimeback role. I think that's the only real position for him with his size and background in the NFL. Take a smaller coverage role and try and do well with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But Bo Braid out of Maryland, thoughts about him?
Yeah, I like Bo. Obviously, you know, local kid, played at Maryland, was a good player. I think he's got potential to be, I think, more of a potential to be a player that plays in your kind of in your coverage in your defense more than Sanusi Kane does, who I think is strictly a special teams player. I think Braid is a guy that will have to earn a spot by playing special teams, as it will pretty much every UDFA will. But then I think he really does have some potential to play some defense, get in there. And I think he's a guy that, you know, is an in the box safety and has the potential to be a dime back as well. So,
okay. He has pretty good size. The other guy who's got even better size. And by the way, Braid has missed most of OTAs and mini camp to date. So that's obviously been a problem. Jordan Tolles, though, 6'1", 209. I'll use a term from Last Chance U. He's an LSU bounce back who finished his career at Morgan State and played a lot of snaps there after very minimal playing time, about 125 snaps career at LSU in his first 2 years. Honestly, was not that great a cover guy at Morgan State. So, you know, you see a higher yards per target, you see a lot of missed tackles out of him. And I really question his ability to play on the back end. Obviously, he's not playing in a league that has the biggest and the baddest, you know, with Morgan State. So you got to wonder about his ability to take a back end role despite size, and live up to the tackling responsibilities or the coverage responsibilities.
Yeah, I think he's got an uphill battle to even make the roster or the practice squad. He's really going to have to be a guy that really earns everything through special teams, and maybe his way to make the roster is just being a special teams ace, just being that guy that just goes down, runs down with his hair on fire, and just is a torpedo and hits the return man anyway, you know, to get him down. Because, and you know, with the new kickoff rules, maybe that's exactly what they're looking for, is somebody to compete with Kane to be that, you know, special teams ace. But there's not a lot there as far as coverage skills and being, you know, really making a contribution on defense for him. Yeah.
Okay. So if there is not one among those three, and we could talk a little bit more, but I don't think it's really worthwhile in terms of who might make the roster. I think there's probably only one spot on the roster among those three players. And I could see a situation where there are zero spots for those three players, that any one of them ends up on, or all of, sorry, any one or two of them end up on the practice squad, but none make the roster. But there's still the UFA market. And that starts, of course, with Worley, but also extends to some veteran names. We saw Jamal Adams get signed. Jamal Adams would have been a hell of a dimeback. That's exactly what he is in terms of his play. Not really a coverage guy, probably can do enough for you in coverage in a short area to be effective. Very slippery pass rusher at times in his career. And so you'd be getting him for that. I don't know. I did not hear what the Titans ended up signing him for.
I didn't either. I'm guessing it was probably very close to the league minimum. If they would usually announce if it was, you know, kind of mid-tier, they'll usually announce, you know, the numbers. But considering they didn't say anything, it's probably right at or close to the minimum.
Was it a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal? Did you hear that, Mark?
1 year.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's probably a vet min deal. So if it was, given that that's happened, do you think the market for Justin Simmons is probably pretty darn lukewarm at this point? You know, obviously, if there are not concerns about Justin Simmons' coverage out there, there really should be. I mean, because generally speaking, the yards per target numbers, if you're bad there, it's an indication of real problems happening, and usually that will come before the reputation earned over the course of many years drops, which is of course what Simmons has in spades, is a lot of that. Another guy that Voss suggested the Ravens pick up is Eddie Jackson, formerly the Bears, who's now almost 30 years old, and similarly has kind of fallen off the table over the course of the last 3 years in terms of his coverage skills and yards per target in particular. Any other guys out there on the open market that you're aware of that might fit the role?
Yeah. I'm not sure necessarily, maybe a dime back, maybe or maybe not, but Micah Hyde is also a safety, I think, that's still out there that I think is probably more of a free safety. And can kind of do the things, you know, not as well, but do the same things Marcus Williams does. But I think he would be if Washington doesn't work out at free safety, I think he's a guy that could, you know, potentially come in and make a contribution there and, you know, to keep Hamilton, you know, by the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, if the Ravens had to go to the street for a free safety, I don't really like their chances to do that. They really need to have a backup free safety right now. Somebody that they say, this is the guy we can go to if Marcus Williams goes down. Because, you know, starting with, he missed a lot of time last year. I will say, He's given up Hyde the last two seasons combined has given up almost 10 yards a target. So that's one of the reasons probably why the market has not been the hot on that. He's been terrific before then in his career, by the way, absolutely terrific. Mm-hmm. So it could be you take a chance on a player. He's also going to be 34 in December.
Right.
34.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Strictly a backup. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, or maybe it's time for him to play another position like dime back or whatever, and play close to the line of scrimmage. He's a little small to play dime. I think maybe I being a back end half field guy is still not out of the realm of possibility for him. I'd probably take a chance on that, but I'd probably still prefer Worley over him at this point. And I, even if they're both at the same salary, both vet men guys, I think I'd still prefer Worley.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the only other guy that I think, you know, potentially viable would be Quandre Diggs. He's been a decent safety with the Seahawks in the past, and I think there's some potential there. Again, I think, you know, I really think they're gonna try to roll with their guys right now. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously keeping an eye on the market, see if, you know, anybody that really interests them, if they feel that they need to make a move. But I think going into training camp these first week or so, they're going to try to see what they have in their guys before making any moves. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Clowney didn't get signed until, you know, halfway through training camp, and Van Noy got signed, you know, after the season started. So
week four. Yeah.
Yeah. So it, you know, you got to give them credit for being patient and, you know, not rushing to sign anybody and giving their own players a real chance to, you know, make the team and carve out a good role for them.
All right, Brandon, outstanding stuff as always. It's great to talk football with you. Tell folks where they can talk with you online.
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter at bcroxton99. Love talking football, love talking Ravens football, and excited for the season.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up with DMs are always open on Twitter. If you're still listening at this point, you've enjoyed the Concern series in particular, I'd ask you to write a 50-word review for us. That's always a very nice thing. You can support the channel. I don't ask anybody for money, but I would love to have a review that'll drive some additional traffic to the show. Brandon, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.